Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 16th China Fahui on the Minghui website, entitled Using Wisdom to Tell People the Truth Behind the Persecution, by Hui Sheng, a Falun Dafa practitioner in China.
China Fahui, Using Wisdom to Tell People the Truth Behind the Persecution, by Hua Sheng, a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. From childhood, I was a timid and shy person with low self-esteem. Whenever I saw acquaintances on the street, I would try to avoid them. I also felt uneasy in the presence of strangers. However, I now practice Falun Dafa and have become courageous under Master Li's benevolent protection. My husband and child began cultivating soon after I became a practitioner. My parents and younger brother have been practicing Dafa for a long time now, and my mother-in-law has read John Falun. I have successfully encouraged a few dozen relatives to quit the Chinese Communist Party and its affiliated organizations. Many of my old classmates and colleagues decided to quit the CCP as well. Among them, a few also began practicing Dafa. Whenever someone comes to my home to do some repairs, I talk to them about quitting the CCP. Most of them agree to do so, helping to save colleagues. No matter how serious the persecution has been in the past 20 years, I never gave up and always had the courage to safeguard Dafa's reputation. For this, I gained respect from my colleagues. They all considered me to be reliable and trusted me fully. More importantly, even though I am not eloquent and don't enjoy mingling with others, by following Dafa's principles, I have been successful in clarifying the facts to them. In order to prevent causing my colleagues to feel anxious when clarifying the truth to them, I always approach each person discreetly. Most male colleagues accept the software for getting past the CCP's internet firewall. One woman wasn't interested in taking it, so I gave her Falun Dafa brochures and just began to chat with her casually. I did this case by case. After people learn the facts, I then broach the subject of quitting the party, and they generally agree. What impressed me most was when a vice president in the company and a person in charge of the 610 office quit the CCP and also helped their family members to do the same. The vice president usually ignored me whenever I greeted him, but one time I was invited to a dinner and was seated at his table. We both arrived early, so I gave him a truth clarification DVD. A while later, I ran into him on my way home and said, "Please, quit the CCP, Youth League, and Youth Pioneers." He agreed right away. From then on, every time there was an upgrade for the Internet Firewall Bypass application, I would give him a copy. It took me a long time to help the person in charge of the 610 office learn the facts. After the persecution began, he tried to convince me multiple times to declare that I would give up Falun Dafa. He even went so far as having my husband's manager try to persuade my husband to write a repentance statement on my behalf. Even though my husband wasn't practicing at that time, he still refused to comply with his manager's request. Every time we talked, I clarified the facts to him. I also went to his home to speak with his wife. In July of 2002, that person assisted two police officers from the municipal 610 office in arresting me and taking me to a brainwashing center. Later, I shared with him stories about the retribution that people who persecuted practitioners were receiving. He was shocked and began to change. One day, I ran into him at a company event. I greeted him and we had a quick chat. He told me that his daughter had graduated but couldn't find a job. I suggested that reciting Falun Dafa is good would benefit his entire family. The next time I ran into him, he told me that his daughter had gotten a job. During the so-called sensitive days, he would give me a call using a mild tone and caution me to pay attention to safety. The first time I asked him to quit the CCP, he didn't say much. When he saw a colleague approaching, he became scared and rushed into a restroom. In 2012, my company organized a sightseeing tour. At one point, we were walking together with nobody else around, so I asked him, "Is your wife a party member? How about if I help her to quit her membership in the Youth League and Youth Pioneers?" Unexpectedly, he replied, "Well, didn't you already help her a long time ago?" I quickly responded, "Well, how about getting your children to quit the CCP as well?" He replied, "Okay." Before he retired, I found the opportunity to go into his office and deliver a bag of materials, including a DVD exposing the atrocity of live organ harvesting, a few brochures containing information about the persecution, and the CD with the app for breaking through the internet firewall. He gladly accepted them all. He also told me, "Since I have done so many good deeds, I should have a good return." I later learned that whenever people from the city asked him to report on my family during a sensitive day, he always told them we were fine. Before he retired, he paid 1,000 yuan to the brainwashing center on behalf of a practitioner being illegally detained there. The practitioner only found out about it right before the man's retirement. Now, through my consistent efforts, many of my co-workers have renounced their memberships in the CCP. Some have had their family members quit as well. After I help a colleague to quit the CCP, I tell him how to approach his family and to help them quit. After a while, I check in with the person and help their family make their final declarations. Once, a colleague yelled at me, "If you consider me a friend, please do not talk to me about this." But no matter what, I never gave up on anyone. Whenever an opportunity arose, I would talk about Falun Dafa. After persisting for so many years, a number of people finally relented. Many ways to save sentient beings. Soon after the persecution started in 1999, I began handing out pamphlets and handwritten notes to help save people. I asked my husband, who was supportive of my cultivation, to photocopy them. Later, I was able to get in touch with the practitioners who ran the printing center and went there once a week to get big boxes of materials, which I shared with the practitioners in my FA study group. With Master's guidance and protection, I was able to establish a home-based material printing center in 2009. At first, I made weekly journals and provided them to other practitioners. In March of 2010, I began making brochures and flyers for posting. In 2012, I overcame many difficulties and started making truth clarification DVDs, including printing the labels. I had no idea how to do this in the beginning, so I created an account in the Tian Jixing, Heaven and Earth Forum. Whenever I had a question, I would post it there. I'd usually receive a reply the next day. I truly appreciated people's help in being able to produce more DVDs. I treated making truth clarification materials very seriously. I was very strict about the sources, as well as the quality. As soon as a large format magazine was introduced at the Minghui website, I began producing them in the same format. When I saw a suggestion to use bright colored paper on a brochure cover, I did it right away. I treat every matter seriously when safeguarding the FA. Whenever my printers ran into an issue or software needed to be updated, I tried to take care of it myself by downloading and installing programs like Office 2010. After I managed the installation, I would reach out to other practitioners and help them. If my printer had any issue, I'd either search the Tian Dixing forum or post a question there. That's how I solved most of my problems. Seeking direct help from a practitioner with a technical background was always my last resort. My husband became a practitioner in February of 2012. Since then, we have been making the materials together. For all these years, no matter what difficulty we experience, we never delay printing the materials. In July of 2018, my husband and I began playing recorded messages through the automatic telephone dialing project. We went out two nights a week to make the calls. I also analyzed the results of our phone sessions. It was very time-consuming, especially when there was a discrepancy between the software results and the actual results. I had to listen carefully to every recording to call back those with unclear sound. In the past few years, whenever May 13th, July 20th, or the Chinese New Year are approaching, practitioners from our study group hang truth clarification banners on the streets. I even used old DVDs to form words such as Falun Dafa is wonderful, and added decorations on both ends of the string to make them look even more elegant. This year, I noticed that some of the banners we hung up in a small park on May 13th remained there until the end of June. This was a busy park, so a lot of people were able to see all these beautiful hangings of Falun Dafa is wonderful.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.